Okay, and we're back. Major developments on Capitol Hill today in terms of our First Amendment right to freedom of speech here. I invited Ted Pike to come back tonight and bring us up to date. As expected, the hate bill passed the House Judiciary Committee. That wasn't a big surprise, but there's a lot of extenuating circumstances now to report, and it's very important material. Ted, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you for coming back. All right, so tell our folks what happened. First of all, the good news is Americans are waking up and beginning to pay close attention once again to this latest threat on our Constitution.
Yes, as most of our listeners are aware, I've been badgering the leadership of the religious right for 3.5 months to start educating and protesting against the federal hate bills, which have been in the House Judiciary since January 9th. And they haven't responded very well, but finally everybody is on board. Dobson came on board on Monday, and I believe FRC came on board yesterday, and so on. So we're getting quite a unified call for action from the big websites of all the so-called watchdog organizations of the evangelical right. Meanwhile, today was the second day of hearings in the House Judiciary Committee, and I've been watching those very closely for the past two days. We've seen the Republicans mercilessly rejected in very thoughtful and constructive amendments to the hate bill. They've been trying to water it down. They've been trying to pull out the teeth of it, but they have been very sternly, adamantly resisted by the liberal Democratic majority. But we had a real surprise in literally the last 5 minutes of the hearings today. Representative Steve King has been introducing quite a few amendments, but his last one really was a corker. He proposed an amendment to exclude pedophiles from the category of sexual orientation. Sexual orientation is one of the main categories of protected groups, and what King wanted was that so-called, if you're going to protect homosexuals, you might as well protect the legitimate or respectable homosexuals who stay within the confines of law, and not allow pedophiles to get on the hate crimes bandwagon and also receive protection under the category of sexual orientation. That sounds like a pretty good amendment, because basically a pedophile, a homosexual pedophile, is by definition a criminal. He's in violation of the law. He's preying on young boys and so on. But Representative Tabby Baldwin of Wisconsin didn't see it that way, and she started protesting his amendment. She called it unnecessary and inflammatory.
How can these people stand up and talk like that with a straight face? I don't get it. This is bizarre. What if she had a child? What if she had a child who was raped, sodomized, or otherwise violated by a pedophile? Would she then be in such a rush to give these people protection?
These are criminals. I'm not making any description of her, but a lot of these feminist women are lesbians, and they don't really have maternal care or maternal instincts. In fact, one member of the Democratic contingent, Representative Scott, very boldly said yesterday, he claimed the authority of the Supreme Court, which says that an unborn child is not a human being and has no rights. You can see the heartlessness and the coldness, coldness.
Let's call it what it is,
judiciary members. The liberal Democratic contingent are specially chosen as uniquely hard and committed liberals dedicated to the new world order. She said that the Hate Crime Statistic Act of 1990 has a very adequate definition of sexual orientation, and she says that it says that sexual orientation means consensual heterosexual or homosexual sex, which she says automatically excludes pedophiles. Well, just as soon as she said that, the instant she said that, without further discussion, Conyers stopped the discussion and called for a vote. And, of course, the liberals prevailed and supported Baldwin. And immediately, Gohmert, Louis Gohmert, who is a real bulldog there in the Republican contingent, he said, "Hey, why wasn't I called? I have some comments to make on this." And unbelievably, Conyers, who's sitting in front of everybody, says, "Oh, I didn't see you. I didn't see you Republicans who wanted to comment on this.
Right.
Oh, unfortunately, we've already taken the vote." And it is a blatant lie, blatant manipulation.
Right.
Anyway, Gohmert continued protesting, and he said, "What this is doing is this is going to make it possible for pedophiles to get, as they say, on the hate crimes gravy train. They'll be
Sure. They'll
be considered a part of this federally protected class of homosexuals, so that if a homosexual attempts to accost or rape your child in front of you, and you violently push that homosexual away or assault them, Gohmert said, if this is the case, then you can be tried as a federal hate criminal, a bias-motivated assailant who is assaulting a member of a federally protected group.
It sounds like science fiction.
You could become a federal hate criminal and actually be under indictment."
It's beyond belief. This is not a way that an intelligent, cohesive, functional society behaves. It just isn't.
Furthermore, he mentioned that if a young man fends off a homosexual assailant, physically assaults him, he also can be tried as a federal hate crime, a criminal, because he is bias motivated against homosexuals and committed an assault, fulfilling the criteria of bias motivation plus a crime, and which makes a hate crime according to this legislation. So what we have here is, number one, we saw ruthless, absolute contempt for any kind of clarity. Again and again, these Republicans said, let's have clarity about these extremely ambiguous terms, gender identity, perceived a sexual orientation, on and on, very, very sleazy legal substratum underneath this bill, but the Republicans were repeatedly mocked and rebuffed. It's very clear that the framers of this legislation want this bill to be ambiguous, unclear, adaptable for every kind of perversion that's going to come along and want to get under its umbrella.
Gosh, unbelievable. Just astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. All right, back in just a couple of minutes with Reverend Ted Pike, as we bring you up to date on the ongoing assault of our Constitution and our First Amendment. Okay, and we're back with Reverend Ted Pike. So, I guess the vote went right along what they call party lines.
Yeah, both sides. I was really proud of the Republicans. They stayed together. They were all very, very animated. There were several who did lead out, Steve King and Gohmert, of course. Bob Goodlatte, who just absolutely, these are magnificent minds these people have. And the way they were so prepared, you know, the reason why they were so prepared, it was because the listeners to Alternative Talk Radio, people who visit your website and alternative internet, starting 3.5 months ago, what we did was we called out, we you and I and others announced that the federal hate bills had been introduced. I think it was January 7th. And during that long period, these passionate, freedom-loving Americans doggedly kept calling in to the 39 members of the House Judiciary Committee.
Uh-huh.
This was deeply appreciated by all of these Republicans. It gave them spirit. It gave them motivation. It created the impression of a large, very concerned a number of Americans behind them. So when they came to the House Judiciary hearings yesterday, they were magnificently prepared with ultimately, I think it was 15, 16 amendments at least. They had more that they would have given if they'd been given time, but they were on the cutting edge. And people like Bob Goodlatte and Gohmert, King, and others, just as sharp as a razor, they were demanding from the liberals specific answers, specific definitions, and all liberals could do really was obfuscate, to flounder around, and
right.
so on. It was a performance that I all Americans should be proud of.
What cohesive process holds these liberals together? They're all complicit in this. I don't understand it. Do they come from different perspectives and they just happen to come together with this passion? Or are they somehow being subjugated by some outside influence, bribed, blackmailed? What? It just seems bizarre to me. It's as if none of them have any brains to think beyond the end of their noses, if they even want to.
Well, we have to remember that the whole concept of hate crimes legislation was brought onto the American scene in 1988, when ADL held a national model hate law competition to law students in America. And in their 1989 Hofstra conference at Hofstra University in New York, they had a award ceremony there, and they kicked off the promotion of hate laws in America. They created a model anti-hate law out of that conference, and during the 1990s, they persuaded roughly 45 U.S. states to adopt some version of their hate crimes law. The big prize is, of course, a federal hate crimes law. They introduced that into Congress about 1998, and fortunately, we've been able to defeat it five times over the past decade or more.
Right. That's right.
But you see, what you have to realize, Jeff, is there is a tremendous antipathy by the ADL against Christianity, Christian values, Christian civilization, mm-hmm. and so on. The ADL, B'nai B'rith people have a very strongly Jewish supremacist agenda. They want to subdue Christian values, Christian ambitions and progress of our civilization, as well as our capitalistic system and so on. Everything that is magnificent and wonderful about a Western civilization, they want to subjugate in order that their new basically Jewish supremacist New World Order can overlay that and dominate society. And so through dominance of the media, dominance of government, through APACs, through military empowerment in the Middle East and in defense of Israel and so on, we have a Judaic agenda here, a subversive a Talmudic agenda which has penetrated Congress very, very deeply. And I do not understand fully what compromises have been made between these liberal Democrats, but I do know that there is a tight network, an Illuminati
right.
type of subversive
well, you're
network
right.
which binds together.
Right.
You can call it Masonry, you can call it mm-hmm. CFR, you can call it Trilateral Commission. On and on, you can call it Bilderbergers, Rothschilds, whatever, but there is a very, very tightly cohesive and focused conspiracy within our government to bring about a new world order and end our sovereignty. And hate crimes laws are essential to that because
they
cast a chill on free speech. They mm-hmm. intimidate innovation of thought and
ratchets
action.
Ratchets up the fear,
and
sure.
That's right. And so there is a real conspiracy. These people are conspirators. I don't use the term conspiracy lightly.
No,
but
you don't.
These people are conspirators
sure
against everything that is sacred to our civilization.
Very well said, Ted. Absolutely correct. Talmudic Zionism, Satanism, let's just call it what it is. It's evil.
Yeah.
It's evil on the planet. And these people are all in bed together.
Yes, they are.
I don't understand how they're voted back into office. I do understand that there is bribery, there is blackmail. Many of them are under fear. Many of them are perverted. I ran a huge list of Republicans last week, and there's another list coming out with Democrats who are guilty of pedophilia, of rape, of underage sexual contact with minors. You name it. And it seems as if the cream of the crop is anywhere but Washington, D.C. Now, there are exceptions, and you've named some of them tonight. Some of the Republicans stood up and heroically engaged this this malignancy across the aisle from them in this committee. All right, so where are we right now? Were they successful in appending enough material to this thing to drag it down?
They didn't append anything to this.
Nothing.
Not a word, not a comma.
They got nothing to it.
They got absolutely nothing out of here except the scorn from the Democrats, basically.
All right, so this thing floats on from here to the full House.
Yeah, it's headed very directly to the full House, probably sometime in the middle of next week. We can expect a collusion between Pelosi and Conyers.
They'll count
move
on that
forward,
sure.
Whatever else is on the docket. Yeah. They're going to get their hate bill passed. Meanwhile, the good news is that the whole religious right is now very animated and excited, worried about this.
Well, they better be.
And it's not a moment too soon, believe me.
No.
And by the way, you know, if I hadn't discovered that Conyers, literally in the last minute,
you found out, you were the guy, Ted,
of Congress,
yep,
was introducing this bill, and furthermore, hadn't discovered that Barney Frank was promising fast passage just as soon as Congress reconvened, we would really be caught with our pants down.
These people don't understand what it is to miss an opportunity, do
yeah.
they? They just, every possible thing they can do, it's like they're obsessed with it. And they've been trying for years. And I guess they feel this is their year. It goes to the full House. They've got a majority. It could pass. So it's going to again fall back on the shoulders of the American people to call and literally threaten, I don't mean physically, but to threaten their representatives to absolutely vote against this or they will not be returned to office. I don't know what else to do to these people.
That's right. Well, we've pretty much exhausted calling now to the judiciary members.
Right.
We have to fan out now throughout the Congress at large. Make the obligatory call to your member of the House of Representatives, but we also have to start intensely calling the Senate. And I would encourage people to come to truthtellers.org, which is my website, and we do have the list of the 100 members of the Senate there. Call not only your two members from your state, but spend some time calling other senators. We've got to break this mold, this idea that all we can do is call three people in Congress and then our duty is done. No, these people are making laws there that affect all of us, that will put chains, handcuffs on us, and will padlock our churches. We have a right to jump over the boundaries, state and boundaries, and call everywhere to members of the House and the Senate, regardless of which state they are from, and let them know that we will not stand for America becoming a hate crimes bureaucracy like Canada. I encourage people to come to truthtellers.org. We've got some dynamic little 10-minute videos there. I'm sure you've seen them.
Terrific.
All,
oh, yeah, you sure.
And those will give you a quick education. You can show them in your Sunday school class, your conservative club, whatever. Get educated on this, because this is coming to take away the freedom that you have taken for granted for you and your children and your grandchildren.
What happens, Ted, if this law is passed and signed?
Yeah, if this law is passed, it is all ready to go in persecution of Christians, of free thinkers, those who criticize groups such as Muslims and so on. The original 1968 federal hate crimes law, which couldn't be enforced because there were too many barriers in states' rights in law enforcement, that's ready to go. What that basically says in Title 18, Section 2A, is that anybody makes public statements which in any way abet or incite or induce some kind of a violent hate crime, then that person who makes those statements will be tried as a principal. That means talk show hosts, writers, anybody in the public realm.
I hope you folks understand how grave a threat this is to the way we live our lives here. This will be the end of America as we knew it. No question. None. Ted, we'll stay right with it. Keep me posted. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
All righty, good night. Reverend Ted Pike. This is not good. Not good. Okay, we'll think about it. But more than that, let's act upon it. Yeah, we will keep you posted. All right, we'll be back in 21 hours. Talk to you tomorrow night.